This week on The Real Estate of Life with Kevin Riles, lease purchases, lease options, wraps, subject twos, all creative ways to invest in real estate. So stay tuned.
Support for this program comes from the Digital Broadcasting Network, presenting podcasts and web series from everyday people who have an extraordinary passion to make the world a better place.
Welcome back to The Real Estate of Life with Kevin Riles. I am on episode, I think, number 17 or 18, and I'm, again, just always thankful for you tuning in and listening to this show. I get comments from friends and non-friends or associates and people that are picking up on the podcast, so I appreciate your tuning in. And when I delve off into non-real estate topics, I appreciate the comments. I got one of the previous episodes was "Don't worry, be happy," and so I got some comical, even though it's a serious topic, I got some comical texts from folks indicating that if I just send them some money, they would be happy. They don't have to worry about not being happy. And so what that tells me is that people are listening, and they made me laugh. So I'm probably going to switch back this week, or I am going to switch back this week to a real estate topic, but you might see me going back and forth between these topics because, again, I do motivational speaking, KevinRiles.com, I'm very passionate about people living their best life, just like Oprah. So I want to make sure that I incorporate that into this podcast. And the reason is, it's my podcast, so I can do what I want to do. So that's the great thing. Secondly, a part of motivation and a part of wealth building is having a good sense of purpose and a good sense of who you are. And so I think that actually the subjects are tied together. A lot of people listen to this for education, but they also listen to it for motivation as it pertains to, investing in real estate. And so to that end, this week, I wanted to talk about creative ways to purchase real estate investments, And so the title of this is lease purchase, lease options, wraps, and subject twos. And so if I just put creative ways to invest in real estate in the podcast title, some people may listen, may not listen. So I kind of wanted to give you a sense of what I'm going to talk about. So let me state from the beginning that I am not an attorney. I just play one on TV, right? And so literally I'm on TV right now. So if you're watching this video version of the podcast, then I am not an attorney. So everything that I am telling you, you should check with and get an attorney. And speaking of which, I think it is important as a real estate investor to have three important people on your team. One is a really good real estate broker. Kevin Riles might be that, but if not someone. The other is a CPA that is familiar with real estate and real estate investments. Not just a CPA, not just a tax person, but a CPA, someone that is familiar with doing real estate. That's very important. And then the third is an attorney, a real estate attorney. And a real estate attorney in terms of not necessarily litigation, although that is very important as well, but also who is familiar with all the different types of deeds and transactions and executory contracts and things of that nature. I think that's really important. Don't go cheap on those three people. In other words, don't try to look for the cheapest real estate attorney or the cheapest CPA. You want to look for the best. And if they happen to be competitively priced, that's great. If they're maybe a little bit more expensive, you will make more money by paying a good CPA and paying a good lawyer than anything else. So, sometimes I get calls into the office and people say, hey, I want to purchase a property. And because of whatever reason, I'm not able to. I have some other things going on. I'm going through a divorce, or there's the existing property owner has really good financing I'd like to take advantage of. And so I'll get questions. How can I purchase this property and not go through traditional financing? And that's why I call this creative ways. Not go through a bank, not go to, apply for a loan, get a loan and things of that nature. And so what I wanted to talk to you about briefly today were a couple of ways that you can do that. And the first way is a lease purchase. A lease purchase. And I define a lease purchase as, or should be defined as, where you are leasing a property and a portion of the rent, of the lease rate of the rent, goes towards a purchase price. So for an example, if you're paying $2,000 a month in lease, and let's say that the property is being sold to you at a predetermined price of $200,000, and you agreed with the landlord that $500 of your rent will go towards the eventual purchase price of the property. And so out of that scenario, $2,000 a month in rent, of which $500 a month goes towards the eventual purchase price, that means at the end of a year, you would have had 500 times 12, or $6,000 towards that $200,000 purchase price. And now you would only, and I put in air quotes for those watching on listening, those watching on video can see me do the air quotes, $194,000. And so why would you do this? What are the advantages of doing this? One, if you're leasing a property and not quite sure if you want to purchase it, it gives you basically an option to just be regular lease. You don't have to exercise the purchase portion of it, right? Two, you're building up, and I'm putting in air quotes, equity in the property. So again, $2,000 a month, $500 a month goes towards the eventual purchase price. And every time you pay rent, you're building up a credit towards the agreed upon initial purchase price. Now, some lenders look at that as prepaid down payment. All right, some lenders will treat that as prepaid down payment so that if you ended up having to put $15,000 or $20,000 down, you have now basically saved up $6,000 towards that purchase price. Some lenders don't take it that way, Nate. They would have you do a new contract when you purchase the property, when you get ready to do traditional financing, at now $194,000 at the end of the year, or $188,000 at the end of 2 years, and so on and so forth. But either way, you're getting a quote unquote credit towards the eventual purchase price of a property, right? So that's one of the creative ways to do it, and that's called a lease purchase. Now, there's a lease option, and they're different, and people interchange these all the time. A lease option, you are not getting a credit. A lease option is an option to purchase the property during the terms of the lease, all right? So if you have a lease and you have what we call an amendment, a lease amendment, option amendment, you can exercise that option anytime during that lease, right? And so this gets really technical, and I'm not going to get too technical here, but there are special provisions in the Texas Property Code that talk about whether that lease option is 180 days or fewer, or more than 180 days. If it's 180 days or fewer, then it's not called what we call an executory contract. An executory contract basically is kind of like a contract for deed. And again, beyond the scope of this, I could probably spend 2 hours just on lease options. But for the purposes of this, you know, short podcast, what I will tell you is that essentially it's an option. You're not getting a credit like we talked about in lease purchases. You're not getting a credit like we're talking about lease purchases. You have the option to purchase the property on at any given time at either a predetermined price if it's under 6 months, or an option to purchase at whatever agreed upon price during the lease. And so why might you do this? Well, again, same reason as a lease purchase. One of the reasons is you might not have decided to purchase the property. Lease options and lease purchases, by the way, are both used for people that want to live in a house or commercial. They're also done on commercial properties as well. So everything that I'm saying today applies to both residential and commercial. Lease options are methods for you to be able to lease a property with an option to purchase it, and you might not know whether you want to purchase it at a certain time, or it might allow you for a time for you to be able to save up enough money to purchase the residential or commercial property. And so you can exercise that option, and it really protects your right to be able to purchase it, because if you just have a regular old lease, and this goes for the lease purchase and lease option, if you have a regular old lease, then the seller can sell it at any time, or the landlord can sell it at any time. The new buyer has to honor the lease. They do have to honor the lease, but you have no basically power as it pertains to purchasing the asset. And so lease with an option, I typically can recommend to folks that are leasing now, if you're leasing a property, and again, this is both residential and commercial. I just negotiated a deal where a commercial person is leasing, but they have the first right of refusal or option basically to purchase at a predetermined price. And so, let me also say this. Lease options don't necessarily, depending on how they're written, mean that you have first right of refusal. You have to specifically say that in the option. So let me be real technical on that. Again, I am not an attorney. I just play one on TV. You need to check with your attorney with everything I'm saying. However, I know I'm right. So with that being said, for those that, because I know for a fact I have four attorneys that listen to this podcast because they text me all the time. So before y'all start correcting, I'm just letting y'all know up front. All right. So you have lease purchases. You have lease options, lease with an option to buy. That's the way I like to say it because it separates lease with an option to buy. Whereas lease purchase as one word to me means that I'm getting a credit every month. So sometimes, and I have a situation like this now where the owner would be willing to do this. Sometimes owners are willing to owner finance a property, right? So what does that really mean? That means that the owner becomes the bank. Instead of you going to a big bank or a community bank, the owner becomes the note. So let's say the big bank was Chase or Wells Fargo. You would normally go to them. They would lend on the property. You would put a down payment, and they would have a note that you would pay to them every month. Well, in owner financing, the bank becomes the owner. They take back, the way we say it in the industry is they take back a note, all right? You sign, you pledge to pay them back the note. And so this, again, can be done on residential and commercial property. And so let's use an example of just $100,000. Actually, you know what? I always use 100. Let's use a million. Let's talk big dollars. So let's use $1 million property, right? And so $1 million property, commercial property, and let's say the owner is willing to take back a note. I have a property now where it's just over $1 million, and the owner is willing to take back a note. And so in that particular instance, the owner has given terms of 25% down, right? They're given terms of the new buyer would have to put 25% down. It would be amortized over 20 years, right? Which means it's a 20-year loan. He has said that he wants an interest rate of 6.5%, which is a little high, but again, it's owner financing. And then the note would be due and payable within 36 months, or a balloon payment in 36 months. So this owner is willing to take back a loan. And he does not owe anything on this particular property. He owns it outright. So that's classic owner financing, right? The owner owns it outright. There's no existing lien or existing mortgage on the property. The owner takes, you put a down payment. Y'all go to closing just like normal. The deed is recorded. The deed of trust, which is the lien against the property, is recorded. And then you have a note, and you pay the owner every month based on that interest rate and based on whatever negotiated terms. That's a clean owner finance. That 36-month balloon that I talked about, by the way, is typically an owner finance deal, especially on the commercial side. They don't want to hold that paper or hold that loan forever, so they want you to eventually get out of it. And so that gives you an opportunity, if it's a commercial property especially, to get established if you're owner-occupied or if it's an investor, to get some financials in so that you can turn those financials in to a lender and refinance that and give him the bulk, or her, the bulk of that money within a three-year period. Now, that's classic owner finance. Works the same on residential as it does on commercial. Now, let's say that same owner has an underlying loan. That owner has a loan with a large bank. Let's just say Chase or Wells Fargo. So $1 million property, they're still selling it to you for $1 million, but let's say they owe $500,000, right? They owe $500,000. They are paying a mortgage themselves. They can still owner finance that property to you with what's called a wrap loan, right? A wrap loan, or what we call wraps around the existing finance. That's where the term comes from. So again, in this particular case, let's use the same numbers. $1 million property. The owner, current owner, owes $500,000. They're going to sell it to you for $1 million, so they have $500,000 in equity. You're going to put 25% down, so you're going to give that owner $250,000, right? And so now you owe the owner $750,000, and that owner owes the bank $500,000. So you can see where the $750,000 wraps around the $500,000. That's where the wrap portion comes from. So what do you need to be aware of in wrap situations? That it's still a loan. It still is recorded at the county courthouse. You do own the property, and you just, your lien is secondary to the primary lien of the large bank in this particular example. Now, what people will tell you, which is true, that there's a thing called a deed of trust, and you're going to get a deed of trust. Anytime you buy a property with a loan, there's a thing called a deed of trust, and that literally places a lien against the property. And for those of you watching on video, I always use this when I'm talking to people, a lien, like something leaning up against the property. I hit the mic there. That's what a mortgage is, right? A mortgage is a lien. And so until you pay that mortgage off, it's leaning against your property. And so in those deed of trust, which is what I call the 21-page don't stay, don't pay document, you don't pay, you don't stay document, there is a clause in that document that's a due on sale clause, which means that if the owner sells the property or transfers the title to the property, then that loan can become due on sale. In other words, they can accelerate it and say, give me all of my money back. So using the same example, a lender could come back and say, hey, you have now sold this property. I want my $500,000 now, right now. And that's what the deed of trust says, all deed of trust say, right? The key word is can. If you read a deed of trust, it says the lender may. It doesn't say the lender must. And it has been, again, I'm not an attorney, but it has been my experience that as long as a lender is being paid, they don't really care. Right? As long as the underlying lender is being paid, they don't really care. And so there are many investors out there that specialize in wraps, where they will owner finance it to a potential buyer, or you as an investor could present this as an option to a potential opportunity that you have. Someone is looking to get rid of a house. You want to put a little less down. You don't want to have to go out and put a new loan on your books. You could do a wrap mortgage. You definitely would need to use an attorney to make sure that the deed of trust for the wrap is correct as far as the way it's put together. And then secondly, you also want to make sure that there's some level of relationship, because there are other things you have to consider. For instance, people always ask me, if I do a wrap, should I get insurance, or in the underlying loan, aren't they insured? And what I've read and researched indicates that, yes, you still should get property insurance. Even though I know that's double insurance, the underlying loan may have the property insured, and you may have the property insured. In the case of a loss, you would rather be safe than sorry. And so wraps are not as common as you may think, but they are great, useful tools. And I think they're not as common because everyone's always scared of the due on sale portion of it. And again, my experience with people that have done these deals before is that the lender very seldomly tells you, hey, we saw that you transferred the title. And so therefore we want all of our money back. And then there's ways to protect yourself from that within the wrap deed language as well. Again, I could do a whole series of podcasts on the steps to wrap, but I want you just to be aware of it. So we talked about lease purchase. We talked about lease with an option or lease options. We talked about wraps. The final for this podcast, I'd like to kind of introduce you to is subject tos. And subject tos are purchasing a property subject to the existing debt, right? That's where the word comes from. Purchasing a property subject to the existing debt. Well, hey, Kevin, you just talked about wraps. Isn't that the same thing? No, wraps are literally transfers of the property. Subject to the existing debt almost works. And I say almost works somewhat like a lease. You're taking possession of the property and you're subject to the existing debt. And so therefore, my experience with people that have done subject twos, you are almost working as a, and again, this is my language, not the technical language, a power of attorney for the existing owner as it pertains to dealing with their mortgage company and things of that nature. They basically give you access to their loan and you're paying it on a daily basis or a monthly basis. And so in this particular scenario, you might give the existing owner a upfront fee or amount, and then you keep the existing debt and you, the new investor or new buyer, become responsible for it. Great thing about this is you take possession of the property, you still can transfer debt, again, not worrying about the due on sale clause. The not as great thing is that it's subject to the existing debt. You're not getting any tax advantages as far as the interest deductions and things of that nature. Again, I'm also not a CPA, but I think I know I'm right. I don't know if that means anything. So anyway, where could you use these as an investor? On the commercial side, owner finances and wraps, and to an extent subject twos, but definitely owner finance and wraps are extremely common in commercial financing. Residential financing, not as much. Typically, some people, you know, may want all their money all up front. And so therefore, you know, they want you to get traditional financing or bring cash. But I am going to guess here, that especially in the Houston area, especially after the storm, that there are going to be more opportunities out there for creative ways to get folks, to help folks also get out of houses that, you know, they may or may not want anymore. I know since the storm, it's been a month and a half, I guess, since the storm. And I've gotten at least four or five calls into my office asking me what the value of their property is now that it's flooded out and they're just done. They don't want to deal with the house anymore. And so there are investor opportunities out there for, in Houston area specifically, for flooded out houses. But I think this information is really good to know regardless of what's going on here in Houston now, because there may be a situation where, hey, you just purchased a property or you just, you know, spent a lot of cash on something else, not even real estate, and have an opportunity to purchase something and need a creative way to kind of tie that property up while you get back on your feet as far as whatever cash outlay you've had. So again, lease purchase, lease options, wraps, and subject twos. These are four ways, and there are more, but these are four primary ways that people buy or real estate creatively. So I want to thank you for listening to The Real Estate of Life with Kevin Riles, and I will see you next week. If you have a question about anything that we've talked about on The Real Estate of Life with Kevin Riles, a real estate question or a life question, no matter what, email me at kevin@kevinriles.com. Again, that's kevin@kevinriles.com. I'll get it. I'll make sure that I respond to you via email, but also want to kind of collect these answers so that I could help everyone else. So again, kevin@kevinriles.com.